two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
How hard is that? We can't even say hello to our neighbor sometimes. For whatever reason. You know, Christmas time is a year where family and friends come together and share many blessings, including gifts, good things to eat, and even many family traditions that are handed down from generation to generation. Sometimes misunderstood by the younger generation, nevertheless, they're celebrated anyways. You know, we have this thing, I don't know who came up with it, I'm trying not to look at my wife, but a white elephant gift where you buy gifts from $15 to $25. Then you go around the room and everybody picks a number and gets a gift, and you could trade with somebody three times. After 3 hours of playing that game every year, I always end up with a gift that costs $3.95. And I think, wait a minute, I thought it was $15 to $25, and why am I going home with these little pixie sticks? And you know, those little Japanese fans that broke when I open it up. But nevertheless, and I ask this question every year, like I did 2 weeks ago, are we playing that white elephant thing? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm not playing. Last night I asked her, did you wrap my gift? She said, yes. I thank God that my wife takes care of me. She knows when I don't want to hang in there for the tradition that I'm in. But you know, as we get together with our families, I wonder if we really talk about the tradition in our heart. Are we really keeping Jesus as the main reason for the season? Are we sharing what Christ has done in our hearts? You know, this last Thanksgiving, before we sat down, I always get up and pray. And I took a couple of minutes and I encouraged my family to continue that tradition. Because as we go through life and people grow up, the world pulls us away from traditions. It's not necessarily the world, it's Satan. He doesn't like tradition. You know why? Because that's wholesome. Those are the good things. Those are the things that keep the family together. Especially when you got those Jesus people in the family, right?
Yeah.
We want to talk about what Jesus has done and how good God is.
Amen.
We want to keep that in the tradition. Not just at Christmas, but anytime we speak. We want to keep Jesus as the main reason for any season. Like Camille said, the four seasons we have, there's many other seasons we have. Let Jesus stay on the throne of each season of your life.
Amen.
Because there's so many wonderful things out there. And I don't know how I got away from my message with that, but I'm just speaking from my heart.
Amen.
You know, two verses earlier in chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel.
Yes.
Meaning God is with us. And I love the way the pastor put it last week. And God is with us.
Yeah.
He's never going to let you go.
Amen.
That's love. And when Camille was talking about the mother's love, I thought about that. I thought, you know, I thank God that in spite of everything my wife is going through with the treatment she's going through because of the cancer, that she has so much energy. And she is an encouragement to me when I'm laying there lifeless, like this morning, not even knowing if I'm going to be able to get up. And I thank God that he gives us that strength in one another.
Yeah.
And I could tell when she feels bad, and you know, there's nothing I can do to help her sometimes because we're both feeling bad. And I thank God that somehow she just gets up and do something. And she'll always ask me, is there anything you need? And I thank God, because that's God's love in my wife's heart for me and our family. I didn't put you in here either, honey, I'm sorry. You know, these past few months, I've been talking about the family tree of Jesus. And here is Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior. 2 weeks ago, I shared the role of the Holy Spirit today. And you see God's perfect plan come in order here once again. Not only with Mary, but also with Joseph. It's very important that we recognize that both Mary and Joseph together as one, we see how they understood their roles in accordance with God's plan and their faith. You don't just do things because somebody's going to tell you. You're going to go check it out, right? Unless you believe in the person so much that you're going to go with them, mm-hmm. right? Unless they tell you to go jump off a cliff. Think about that. Mary was probably about 14 or 16 years of age when she gave birth to Jesus. This was a very common age for young women to be engaged and married in biblical times. Joseph, on the other hand, he was probably slightly older, maybe around 30. Joseph and Mary were a very average couple in Israel at that time. Like in this day and age, God always provided instructions. Let's look at Christ's birth announced to Mary. And if you look at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her," and I love this, "'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Do you know that no end means today, still?
Yes.
Doesn't that excite you, knowing that this is something that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it still is true today?
Yes.
And that's the God we worship. That's the God that people say there is no God. Mm-hmm. What a tradition that would be, to be able to get together with family and friends every year and just take the time to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. All night. Not trying to take any fun away from the youngsters. We see here how Mary was a little confused when the angel came and spoke to her. How many times do we get confused when we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us? How many times do we get confused when we see the plan that God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit? There's no mistaking God. Through the Holy Spirit, is going to tell you exactly what he needs to do. He gives us the instructions. He says it over and over in the Word of God. This is what I need you to do. So let's go on. Let's see about Joseph's dream. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, where it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, and here it is again, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.
Yes. Amen.
There's the cure.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus is going to save us from our sins, coming from God himself. Just in these two verses, we see so much of God's perfect plan performed right down to the very detail of our Savior's birth. And I love the way the angel told them both, do not be afraid. You know, for some of you who have heard some of my wife's testimony for the longest time now, whenever she opens the Bible, you'll never believe what's the first word she sees, no matter where she turns. Do not be afraid. Old Testament, New Testament, she spends time in the Word sometime before I even come downstairs. She'll be sitting there like a ghost sometimes when I walk down the stairs, and she'll say, Ralph, you'll never believe what I read when I opened my Bible. I already know. And I'll tell her, what did you read? And she'll say, God is telling me do not be afraid.
Amen.
You know, I got to tell you, before we're dealing with the cancer, she would never read that. I think it was started in June, just before we got the diagnosis in July that she had cancer. And it continues to give her reassurance. You know, I see the bond, the commitment of Joseph and Mary to God. And the reason I say to God first is because as a married couple, we need to be bonded to God.
Amen.
Because I got to tell you, unless your boyfriend and girlfriend is a Christian and you get married together as Christians, you're not necessarily saved when you're married, right? Some of us weren't saved.
Amen.
Some of us husbands and wives who weren't saved before we got married, we didn't come to know Jesus Christ the very second together. One may have come to know Jesus Christ, and then the other. Some of you may be waiting for your spouse to come to know Jesus Christ or get right with God. But Mary and Joseph loved God so much, and their faith in God was so bonded that they became one in one accord, even before they got together. Because the angel assured Mary and the angel assured Joseph that God was with them.
Amen.
He didn't have to tell them, God's going to bless both of you. Right? Because he knew he gave him Jesus.
Yes.
He gave him salvation.
Amen.
What a tremendous gift that was. God has always intended for us to, from the very beginning, to be in perfect fellowship with him. That's why he created us in his own image. You know, there's nothing like a father who has a son that wants his son to look like him, right? Now, I know some of you mothers might say, well, I don't know about my son looking like my husband. That's a father's dream. You know, God created us in his own image because he wanted us to have fellowship with him. He wanted us to have everything that he had. And you know, I thank God for his unfailing love because he gave us the cure.
Yes, he did.
He wanted us to be in the garden forever, but we blew it. But he still made a path for us. And like I said, with sin came death. But God, with his unfailing love for us, he had that plan. Aren't you glad God had a plan?
Yes.
Do we have a plan?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
What's our plan? Where is Jesus in our plan?
Right.
Do you share your plan with your children or your friends? Who's at the center of your plan? In the same manner, they were both told not to be afraid. In the same manner, the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. Yet many of us, we turn our heads for whatever reason. Maybe financially, we just got too much going on. Maybe we just can't afford to spend a lot of time spiritually in doing what God wants us to do because I don't know where my next paycheck's going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to make the rent this month. You know that God has a way of making things happen.
Yes, he does.
I know I'm not the only one that has been short money and all of a sudden I get a gift check in the mail.
Amen.
Or a rebate check.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bonus check.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody just saying, here. God knows our needs.
Yes, he does.
Not just our physical needs, but he knows our financial needs.
Yes.
He knows what we're ailing.
Yes.
And he knows how to fix it.
Amen.
He's just waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm letting go and I'm letting you do it.
Amen.
Come and get me. Come and bless me. Because you know what? That's what it is. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Many people think it's a burden, but it's not. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, in these last times for you who through him believe him or believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. You know, a lot of people ask themselves, did God really set up that plan before the foundation of the world? This verse tells us. God already knew.
Yeah.
And if our God can do that, knowing that, how much more can you do for us tomorrow?
Amen.
Now, I'm not giving you all the, okay, I don't want you to say, hey, yesterday Pastor Ralph told me I can go get all the credit cards I want and spend all the money because God's going to take care of it. That's not what I'm saying. God is saying, if you follow me, if you see where the need is and you take the cure, and you apply it, then I'll bless you. When we go to the doctor, and we say, I'm hurting, and the doctor tells us, okay, this is what you have. And then that's it. You go home. What good is it?
Right.
But now they tell you, okay, and it's very seldom that they even check you. Your ears, your eyes, they just look at you and they give you a diagnosis and then give you medicine. Right? At least with me. But then you have to go do something. You have to go stand in line and buy the medicine. Right?
Yes.
And then you don't just look at the medicine in your heel. You read it and you take it the way the instructions tell you to. Everything has instructions. That's the Kermit and I built.
Right.
I didn't forget about that one. But you know, instructions are there for a reason. But when you start taking the medicine, you start feeling better. And then pretty soon, you're cured. But our flesh is weak, and we get sick again, maybe with something else. But I thank God that no matter what I go through in my fleshly life, nobody can touch my spiritual life.
That's right.
Because I have this cure. I have this healing gift from that Jesus gave. But it came at a cost. Everything comes at a cost. For you, the cost is You have to maybe give up certain things in your lifestyle that you're doing right now that you know is not pleasing to God. For you, it may be, I can't do the thing that I want to do anymore. The desires of my heart, because I know it's wrong. But I thank God that He's a loving God.
Yes.
And He has us in His mighty right hand, His word says. You know, so many people today, like I said, we try and compromise with our Lord and Savior. And there's no compromise. God says, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Not lukewarm.
Right.
Either you're in or you're out. Either you're with me or you're not. Either you're praying to me and following me, or you're down the road. Because it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
It breaks my heart every day to hear how so many of God's people don't love Him as much as He loves them. Enough to pay that cost. So our Savior, Jesus Christ, was born. The story was told. What a tradition to read the Christmas story to our children. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall and to be in the homes of everybody and hear somebody say, can any of you children tell me the Christmas story? I wonder how it would be told. Sometimes I wonder in my own family. See, because we tell our children, we've told our children, we pray for our children, but our children have their own minds, they have their own hearts, they have their own decisions to make. I can't save our children. All I can do is love them like my Father loves me. And I hope that's enough for the Holy Spirit to continue to draw them near Him. Because that's what that Holy Spirit's job is. So Christ had to, He was born. He became the cure. But there was a cost. He had to die and be separated from God on the cross for our sins. And it hurt Him. And we hear it every Easter, every Good Friday in the message. Father, why have you forsaken me? It just tears me apart when I hear that.
Yes.
But He knew. In order for Him to become the healing gift, the perfect cure for salvation, He had to be separated because God could not affiliate Himself with sin. He still can't. He won't. Never will. That's why we need to be blameless and spotless. And the only way we can do that is with Jesus Christ in our hearts.
Amen.
You know, in closing, I want to leave you with this acknowledgement. There's a need. We need to accept the cure. We need to accept the healing gift. And we need to apply it and spend eternity richly blessed.
Amen.
You know, when you can tell when somebody is following the Lord, no matter how they look, no matter what they're going through, they still find a way to praise God.
Amen.
They still find a way to give God the glory and honor.
That's right.
You know, there are many times where someone will ask me, how you feeling? And I know they're asking me because they're looking at me and I'm probably looking like death. And I used to say, oh, I'm okay, I'm all right. And now I just feel, you know what, I'm not feeling good. Because I need to be truthful. Because you know what, I know they love me so much they're going to pray for me.
That's right.
Amen.
And I thank God because that's why I'm up here today.
Amen.
Because of prayer.
Amen.
You know, Carolina and I, we thank you all for the gifts of your healing prayers that you put before the altar of the Lord. And we cherish each and every one of you. And just as we just heard the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, the healing gift, our Savior and Lord. We thank God for the Holy Spirit that has put you in each and every one of our hearts to pray for us and to be there for us and come beside us. Everything that the Word of God, all these instructions that God has given us, He also has given you. And it just blesses us tremendously that not only did you hear His perfect plan in regards to just us, but you said yes in obedience, and you obeyed. And the blessings are what we see before us today.
Yes.
The great fellowship we have. We need to keep that in mind this Christmas.
Yes, we do.
And all year round. Because there's so many people out there hurting. God never said don't pray for strangers.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, He said love your neighbor.
Amen.
Neighbors can be strangers unless you know them. We need to start doing that. But I just wanted to tell you, God's perfect cure is never going to be, is never going to have an expiration date.
Yeah.
Because He loves us so much.
Amen.
And that's the best part about it. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you didn't miss the boat. What matters is what you do today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And don't take that chance that you have one more day, because only God knows. God bless you. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen.